It's magnificent. This is one of the nicest murals, contemporary murals, I think I've ever seen. Fine mural work is not that common. It really just isn't that common.
It's, I think, the second largest fresco in the country in terms of just scale. But it's also one of the few real frescoes in this part of the country that uses a traditional method. And each of these panels portrays sort of a contemporary version or interpretation of the seven virtues. And yes, that's Madonna on the head of a raven or a blackbird.
What did this project cost?
I think in the neighborhood of $300,000. Most of the public art, at least here in the Twin Cities, is privately funded. It isn't about competition for public dollars. This mural was completely funded through private donations. So there's a patronage, and there's a history of patronage here in Minneapolis that a lot of other cities envy. Yet, most people don't recognize that the Twin Cities' public support of the arts is quite weak in comparison with other cities.
Let's go upstairs.
Well, it used to be that public art or art in public places was considered that an artist would take a work of art and plop it down in a public place, and that would be considered public art. Today, I think there's a great movement afoot for artists and art administrators and art consultants to really take advantage of the specific opportunities that interaction with a non-art public provides, because you can create things in that kind of context that are very specific to that context and very meaningful that can't be created in any other way, and that's when things really get exciting.
I'm asking, is it really an interaction between artist and public, and does the public have an impact on what the artist actually produces, and can they reject what he does and therefore have him change it? I mean, is that what artists do?
It depends on the artist. The kind of public art that we do is intended to build community by being a co-creation with the community. In the Community Bridge Project, we asked 175,000 people, which is the entire population of our county, one question. What we asked them was, what object represents the spirit of community to you? And we got thousands of responses.
So, for instance, one of the stones looks like there's a quilt square, because quilts were created in circles with lots of people and all the pieces together. Got another stone that looks like there's a spider web on it, suggested by a 34-year-old single mother. She said, each strand in a spider web is delicate and fragile, but by the time you put them all together, they're strong and they're flexible, just like community, the individual versus community. And when you start putting all of these ideas together on this bridge, that's the voice of the bridge, and it's the voice of the community.
We're on Lake Street, headed east now in South Minneapolis, and it is something of a mural corridor here from Lyndale, where we just were, over to Bloomington on the east. There must be a dozen murals in the vicinity.
It's wonderful to have such a concentration of public artwork in a single place. There's not a dozen murals in all of Frederick, the city that we come from. I think that shows a great cultural vitality in this city. There's art everywhere.
The next one we're going to see is at 35th and Chicago. If you look up now on the side of the building of the Pillsbury House, it's wrapped around the building. It involves a new process that was developed by 3M. They actually take the artwork, scan it with a laser, and then they print it out 62 feet long by 12 feet high, and looks like a painting, but doesn't have a drop of paint. And Forecast helped to fund this mural, which was done by Catherine Noby. And she researched the history of this Powderhorn Park area and went to the Historical Society, got photographs, archives, family photos. She interviewed people. She did workshops with kids and some of their drawings and things they wrote.
It says, we encourage in that form of dance that everybody be an individual. She started at one point and said, well, I want to dance just like you. And I said, you can't dance like me. You're not me. So she went out there and she kind of threw her shoulders back and she headed out there and she danced. She danced real well. That's great.
This is another one of Marilyn Lindstrom's murals, one of the first she did under the name of her new organization called Neighborhood Safe Art. We're at the corner of 12th Avenue South and Lake Street, and she worked with rival gangs from both neighborhoods to create a safe space. So it's called Neighborhood Safe Art Spot. And as you can see, there's no graffiti or dissing of this mural. And there's a theory that if you work with young people to create a mural who otherwise are vandalizing spaces or doing tagging that's unwanted, that they will respect this work.
This is beautiful. I love this. It's art that's been very carefully targeted to deal with the specific issues that this community is dealing with. And it has a very unique feeling that you know reflects the people that worked on it. Well, it's really raining now. It's a peacemaking art.
I bet there are those who say art doesn't have to serve a purpose. Art for art's sake. Yeah, art for art's sake.
It doesn't have to serve a purpose. Sometimes, though, when art is created to serve a purpose, it can be more meaningful, or it can be as meaningful. It can be more meaningful than art that was created for art's sake. I think that public art is definitely headed toward a time when artists will discover how to become indispensable to the culture, and that they will be able to do things with art that cannot be done any other way and that absolutely need to be done.
We have one more roadside attraction coming up here at Franklin and Chicago, done by one of the newest members to our community who is really enlivened public art, named Rafala Green. It's called the Phillips Gateway Project, and it replaces what used to be a liquor store that the community demanded its removal. And in its place is a gateway that features some giant concrete benches that are being covered in incredible mosaic tile murals.
This is amazing. I can't believe this city. I hope people realize what they have here. This is such a vital area. You don't see things like this on the East Coast. This is so vibrant. You know, the culture is getting wiped out everywhere with franchises and mega malls and all of that. And to see this kind of grassroots vitality and this kind of creation that draws on the roots of the culture is astonishing. And this is something that would never be allowed to be paved over and replaced with a fast food restaurant. When this kind of love and effort and creativity are put into a place like this, it almost becomes sacred ground.